Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
This is 2 of Friday evening, July the 8th, 1994.
Amen. I'd like for the ministers to come up tonight. We're going to minister for a few minutes here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just come up and turn around towards the audience.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Again tonight, those that have a need, I want you to come to one of the ministers here. Obey the Holy Ghost. Obey the Holy Ghost. Come right up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Go to one of the brethren that you feel that could help you tonight. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Just obey the Holy Spirit. We're not pulling anybody up here. We just want you to obey the Holy Ghost. You've been under dominion, domination, ministers that have put you down and hurt you the wrong way, and you were wounded. Come up as well. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Go right ahead, brethren. Go ahead and pray. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Yes, Ruby. Praise God. I'm going to pray against this Antichrist spirit.
Praise your Lord Jesus. Now, I have relinquished my 15 minutes to Art tonight. He's coming to speak to us for a few minutes. And Art has taught us here on Eagle Saints one time, or maybe two or three times, but I know that, and it's one of the most wonderful tapes, messages, it's a tape now, messages that I have ever heard on Eagle Saints, the Overcomer. And that tape, we have had calls for it from all over the country. I guess he's gone places, or others have, and made mention of it. And people have called and written and asked, do you have a tape by Art Johnson called Eagle Saints? Well, we do have. Art, you can't speak sitting back there. And you notice he's just a slight bit larger than I am, taller.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have a little apology to make, because I mentioned this morning that I knew Glenn when he was a young man. I should have said I knew Glenn when we were both young men. Praise the Lord. I have a somewhat serious thing to say tonight, but I'm sort of humorous, so I don't know how it mixes together. But I would like to talk a little bit out of Job.
Yes.
Who likes to hear about Job? But do you know something? My Bible scholars here, isn't Job one of the earliest books of the Bible? Is it the number one early book? Number one, Job. What in the world is this story about? It's about an eagle saint, an overcomer, waiting for his deliverance. Is that possible? And he ends up with the revelator in Revelation, and that's all about the overcomers and eagle saints. Isn't that true? But I'd like to read a little bit here. In Job, the story is so familiar, we'll skip over quite a bit of it. But one day, the Living Bible tells us, in the sixth verse of the first chapter of Job, one day as the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, Satan the accuser came with them. And what happened? Where did you come from? The Lord said. Can you imagine? And then it tells us I'm going quickly through this. It's going to be in the 13th verse. Tragedy struck. Whenever Satan comes in, tragedy strikes. And it has struck very often eagle saints, overcomers. And we learn more through our valley experience than we learn in our mountain experience. Oh, we don't like that. Who likes to go through valleys? Up, up, and away, you know. That's what we really want. And then we find out what Job did. Now, he's the original eagle saint. He was a righteous man. He was the best guy they had around. And here in the 20th verse, Job fell down upon the ground before God. That's what to do. And if we have a problem, we have to fall down before God.
Yeah.
And then he said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I shall have nothing when I die. The Lord gave me everything I had, and they were His to take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My, does that stick in my throat? Have you gone through an experience like that? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Oh, my. And it says here in the that the world asks, are you still trying to be godly when God has done all this to you? Oh, my. And then the question of the ages is over in the third chapter and the 23rd verse. Why is a man allowed to be born if God is only going to give him a hopeless life of uselessness and frustration? Worldly people will tell Christians, hey, you're no better than we are. You have just as many problems as we have. Could be true, couldn't it? But we have a hope. We have a hope of the future. We have a hope of ruling and reigning with Him, of being an overcomer. You say, Brother Ark, what in the world are you talking about this to us? What does that have to do with this evening? Well, I have to interject a little testimony. The message and the messenger has to be the same. Now, they talk wonderfully in terms about my eagle message. It's not my eagle message. It's the Lord's eagle message. I was sitting in a lodge in northern Canada, much colder where you come from, my brother. And I was frozen to the core, and the Lord started to give me the eagle message. And I got so excited, I warmed all up. I didn't need to have a snowmobile to keep me warm. The Lord came upon me and gave me that message. And as Jack said to me, you did a lot of research. Oh, boy, I wanted to make sure I had everything right. When I came back home, because I knew I had been a pastor for 4 years, and I know how it is to prepare 50 sermons a year, and have a lot of them scholarly, biblically based, but not as much anointing. But when the Lord gives you one, man, you can feel that anointing goes right through the message. And that's the I haven't gotten many of them, so sometimes I have to repeat them. And I used to be embarrassed about that. And I'll tell you more some other time I come, because I'm going to come back quite frequently here. Amen. This has to be the place of my recharging my batteries, because it's been a long time that I have not been back here. But what happened was that Lily, who you all know, got seriously ill. She became an invalid. And that was, she was an invalid for many years. And I dropped out of the church as pastor. People, the world will come and tell you, hey, you must, just like Job's comforters, you must have problems in your life. Your daughter got sick. What's wrong with you? Something wrong in your life. Your wife, what in the world have you done wrong to deserve this? Is that a Job experience? Of course it is. Did you learn something through this? Boy, did I learn something through mine. I knew that I could talk about waiting upon the Lord, as we sang earlier, but I had to learn what it means to wait upon the Lord. And then, of all things, I had a very handsome son. His name was Philip. And he loved this place, Len, as you know. He used to go hunting around here with me in the fall and stop off here and have a Saturday night service or a Sunday morning service, not necessarily camp meeting times. And we were up in the Heber Springs, and he was not feeling well. And he said he was going to go visit the doctor when he came back. And he went to the doctor. They took him right to the hospital. His blood count was so low. Turned out that he was dead in 8-10 days from a childhood form of cancer that just tore through his healthy body. He was 28 years old, married to a beautiful blonde girl. He was high up in a bank already, working in a bank. And then in addition to that, he taught scuba diving at Oral Roberts University. Now I ask you, what in the world is Oral Roberts doing teaching scuba diving when they have a Bible to teach? Forgive me for being so blunt. I used to tell him that. And he said, well, this is part of their PE department. It's required for accreditation. But in the meantime, they sent these teams all through the Caribbean to be checked out for scuba diving. And he had the pleasure of being their instructor and taking his wife along as an assistant. And they would preach a little bit on the side. But the Lord took him home. And I was there in the hospital room there in Tulsa. Oral Roberts and Evelyn Roberts had prayed for him. Richard was there. He had more friends than I had ever believed my son could have. He had my personality, I guess. No, but he had friends all over Tulsa who were concerned and praying for him. And then I had to hold him in my arms. And he wanted to go home. He said, "It's beautiful. I've got to go." His wife cried. And, oh, what a setting. And I committed him to the Lord. He was in such pain. And the Lord took him right in my arms to the Lord. 60 days later, to the very hour and the very day, in St. Bernard's Hospital in Jonesboro, Arkansas, I held Lily in my arms, 75 pounds, and committed her to the Lord. And I started a Job experience. My family was half wiped out, and I have a very small family. And my son Daniel was in high school. And he was frightened. He's a very brave boy, but he was frightened. He says, "Dad, are you going through a Job experience?" I said, "I never heard such an experience. I have heard all sorts of wonderful, claim it, name it, experiences, but a Job experience? Who needs one of those?" He said, "I'm afraid. I'm not teasing you," he said. "I'm afraid for my life." Oh, I said, "Daniel, please. The Lord is in his mercy. He's not going to take you home." And so for the next 4 years, I had to be both father and mother to Daniel. I had to learn to cook, prepare him for his future, for college. I helped him with his college boards. He came 4% in the United States. And got, mind you, over $80,000 worth of scholarship to go to Wheaton. The Lord provided for everything for him. About a year after he graduated from high school, I was very lonely. He was up in college. I was licking my wounds, having a pity party. You know how it is if you've gone through this way. And I said, "Lord, is my life over? I'm ready to go." And the Lord started to indicate to me that there's something more for me to do. And I said, "Well, I need someone as a companion. I need someone. I really want a wife, Lord. I need someone. I've waited all these years now after Lily." And the Lord kept reminding me of this widow woman. And I said to the Lord, I said, "Please put something else on my mind." But no, he kept reminding me of this widow woman. She had two children. She had been widowed for 7 years. And she kept reminding me of her. And I was disobedient, reluctant. And the months went by, and finally I got enough courage. And she used to go to our church before she moved to another town. And I said, "Could I take you and the kids to the circus? I love a circus. I might look old on the outside, but inside as a very young little boy. The only difference between men and boys is the price of their toys in a circus, and all of the stuff that goes with it is my sort of cup of tea." So I took Janet and Willie and Christina to the circus. Now, I did something very foolish. The second date, I took them to Sesame Street. And I enjoyed it. And Willie found himself a girlfriend up there. Uh-oh. Who wanted to come off the stage and dance with him, because I was sitting in the disabled area. Can you imagine a fellow on his second day sitting in a disabled area? It was the best seat in the house, right up front. And then it got a little serious. And my brother, you know, in northern Minnesota, the friction between the Swedes and the Norwegians. Are you sure? They have rivalries that go back 1,000 years. And for one of our wedding guests, I'm going ahead of my story, we got two coffee mugs. One with the Swedish flag that says 101% Swede. And the other one says 101% Norwegian. So there was conflict. Because my wife is 101% Norwegian, and I'm 101% Swedish. Now, we men know that our women have to submit to us. And I never heard of a Norwegian ever submitting to a Swede. And on our honeymoon, she surprised me in a tremendous way. She bought me a pair of suspenders. You see it all? That was my answer. But a lot took place before that. The Lord was allowing me to experience the end of Job. The end of Job is joyful. It's wonderful. But he was letting me experience the end of Job. And a lot of things happen. First of all, being Scandinavian, you have to get the father's permission. And boy, I was trembling about this. Because of all things, my father-in-law is younger than I am. Yes, look at your eyes. And my father-in-law, my mother-in-law came to Janet and says, please don't give me a son-in-law that's older than I am. So I went to Lars Dahlin, who has been here at camp. And Labor Day, we're going to have the whole family here because they have to share in what we have here in our midst. And I sat on the sofa in Lars's house and I said, Lars, I said, I have to ask you in all seriousness, because I'm sort of funny. I said, I would like to have Janet's hand in marriage. He jumped up and clapped his hand. He thought that was great. No, not quite. He was very serious. And he says, yes, I know by the Lord that this is right. Praise the Lord. My mother-in-law had a sense of humor, though. She loves to do needlework and so forth. I don't have them on now, but she came running after I proposed. No, after I got his permission, I asked him to leave the room. Imagine, this is his own living room. You very rarely ask a Norwegian to leave his own living room. No. And I said, Janet, if you hear me, come to me. And she came out of the room. And I had the ring, and I proposed to her in my father-in-law's living room. Felt a little peculiar. Until my mother-in-law came ripping out of the kitchen, and she said, I have a new pair of socks I have just knit for you. I got my first engagement gift. Heavy wool socks so I wouldn't get cold feet. And to honor my mother-in-law, June 29th, I wore heavy wool socks and these oversized shoes to the wedding. I felt as the least I could. And every once in a while, when I have a run-in with the kids, I look for those wool socks because I sort of get cold feet. But praise the Lord, we had a union, and I want to explain this because I'm part of the family, a little hard for people to understand, but Janet picked a little verse, and it says, a time of new beginnings, and she made that part of our wedding announcement that went out. And you know what happened? It says here in Job, the Lord restored his happiness. Do you know I haven't cried since? I have been happy ever since. The Lord restored his happiness. And then in the 11th verse of chapter 42, former friends arrived and feasted with him in his home. From California to New York, from Minnesota to Florida, they come barging in to my home, and we had a groom's dinner in my home with all of these friends. Sunday school boys who are now in their 50s, I had changed their life as being a Sunday school teacher. That's when I was in the old order. But any event, they would still change in their lives. And they came to give honor. And it says, they comforted him because of all of the trials the Lord had brought upon him. We think that Satan brings trials on us. The Lord brought these trials upon Job. And each of them brought a gift of money. Praise the Lord, I have some wealthy buddies. They came with money. And then a gold ring. Very lovely gold ring. Janet gave me this. And it says here, and there were, what happened to him, he got a big family. Remember the end of Job, what a big family he had? Let me tell you, do I have a family? Here we have hardly anybody in my family. Now I have four sister-in-laws, and I have a sister-in-law who's only 14 years old. Can you imagine me with a sister-in-law who's 14? Ridiculous. I have to reprimand her, scold her, and she's my sister-in-law. Oh, my goodness. Then I have a brother-in-law who's 400 pounds, and he's a professional wrestler. And he had preached once. And he doesn't know that I'm loaded for bear. I can tackle that guy. I want to lead them back to the Lord and back in the ministry. He would be fantastic with kids who like these silly wrestling shows on Saturday on the TV shows. We have to pray for Larry, is his name. And then he got more sons and more daughters. Boy, I thought my family was complete, and now I have Willie and I have Christina. But it says something very nice here. Now, Christina said, Dad, don't talk about me. Don't talk about me. But the Bible talks about you, Christina. There were no other girls as lovely as the daughters of Job. You're lovely. You hear that, Christina? And the father put her in his will along with the brothers. Hey, that's not a bad deal, dear. You see, the Lord is doing a work. Now, waiting upon the Lord, and I'll just close in another few minutes, but waiting on the Lord has to do with Eagle Saints. There's no other way that you can explain Job's experience. But God, for a day that is yet to come, and I better live like Moses to 120 and my eye will not dim, because I've got a big family now to be with, to raise, to be a spiritual example to. And we're here, I will note, we have to be transparent with one another. I'm here to see our family get in divine order. You can't travel around the country in a motorhome if there's a lot of rebellion and bad words and disrespect. It has to be a flow of the Lord within the family, or else your witness and your testimony and your preaching is like hay, wood, and stubble. And so I want to close with this one verse. But they that wait upon the Lord. Job waited upon the Lord. He waited upon the Lord. I would love to tell you how the eagle waits upon the Lord. Up in a cleft of a rock, waiting for the Lord to renew his strength. And the Bible tells us here, the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We as eagle saints will have to renew our strength. And an eagle does something very interesting. It renews its strength about every 7 years. So after it renews its strength, it flies out of that cleft in the rock, that cave, and lives another 7 years to again to fly out an eighth year, a time of new beginnings, again to be like the greater eagle. There's two kinds of eagle before I close, so you know that there's a difference. The lesser eagle has a wingspan of 3 or 4 feet, attends church, reads the numbers on the board, and sings the songs in order. You know what I'm saying? And it feeds on dead things. Lord is my witness. That's what the lesser eagles feed on. They feed on dead things. Somebody else's revelation, someone else's knowledge, someone else's declaration. The hierarchy within your denomination tells you what to believe or what not to believe, what to preach or what not to preach. They are lesser eagles. But, oh, there's another kind of an eagle. And that's a greater eagle. And they have wingspan of over 8 feet. Huge birds that can fly high in the heavenlies. And my Indian brethren up in northern Canada claim that they never die. They never die. They renew their strength from generation to generation. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And you know, when they come a little tired, and that's put myself in the picture, when you get a little tired and you get a little old and your wet feathers are a little stubby and the oil is disappearing a little bit out of the wings, then you can do two things. You can feed on leftovers. The other greater eagles fly in to live on the living organism, the living bodies. That's what the greater eagle feeds on. They don't feed on dead things. They have to feed on the living thing. And the tired eagle has either to renew his strength or to live on leftovers. As you can well imagine, I have not lived on too many leftovers in my life. But by the way, I have reduced myself a little bit. So maybe another 50 or 75 pounds, I can start to soar again. But the eagle then has to do a decision in their life, as I had to do. Am I going to just wait for the rapture? or am I going to renew my strength? And then the eagle flies down the canyon looking for a cave in the mountainous sides of northern Canada and other places. And when he finds a cave that's suitable, he does some surprising things. He takes his beak and he sharpens it. So all the crustacean, all of the little growths are gone. And his beak is sharp again, like the sword. And then he plucks out these useless, oilless feathers until it stands naked before its creator. And it goes in the back of the cave, and there's always springs of living water coming back in that cave, and it washes all of the hurts and scars and bruises of a lifetime of living. And my Indian brethren said they have seen the eagles come to the edge of the cave glistening with water, only to turn around and go back for another dip. Hallelujah. That living water, cleansing, healing, delivering them. You say, Brother Art, how long are they there? Well, they're there for about a month and a week. You know how long that is? 40 days. Is that coincidence? I don't think so. I think that is a plan that God had. Well, what do they feed on? They have water to drink, but what do they feed on? Well, there's an old Methodist hymnal that says, there's honey in the rock for me, my brother. Remember that song? And there's honey in the rock. And that's what the eagles feed on. Honey is one of the best foods you could possibly feed on. And it renews its strength. And when it gets there about 40 days, the feathers are all grown. Why don't the eagle just take off? Well, oh, no. He's waiting for the oil. And there are oil sacs under the wings. And after about 40 days, the oil sacs start to generate a new flow of oil all over the wings, sealing them so that they can soar out into the heavenlies, join the rest of the eagle saints, and live another 7 years, and again to renew its strength. Praise the Lord.
Not really. Janet, I'd like you to come up too. And I'd like all the brothers to come up. And I'd like Glenn and Jack Harris and Irma. And to set them in place, yes. I was going to call them. Willie and Christine, you come up too. And with an apostolic mantle, we are as brothers. Come on, Bill, no. I'd like Jack Harris to just preside over this installation. We're just going to set them in. He said he wanted to be established and set in order. Mm-hmm. And so we're just going to really just bless them. Mm-hmm. Let the Lord say what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord, yeah. Well, yes, well, what we have done here is formed the presbytery.
Is that old order or new order?
No, it's a divine order.
Oh, thanks.
Divine order.
Yeah.
We formed a presbytery by having an apostle and a prophet and then a multiple of ministry. And every word that is spoken is confirmed by or judged by the prophets.
Yes.
And this is divine order.
Yes.
Divine order. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Shall we pray over this, and then we'll praise the Lord. Father, just now we're in your presence. Great God, we're before the throne. We lift Brother Art and Janet and these children up to the throne, O Lord. We commit them into the hands of the Almighty God. For we know that their life hereafter is committed to Thee. Lord, we know the judge of all the earth will do right by Art, Janet, and these children, Lord. Lord, we pray that they'll have a long and prosperous life together, and it'll all be spent in the presence of God and in the will of God. And their love they have one for another tonight shall grow with the months and years, and it shall never wane. But it shall increase time after time after time as the Lord blesses your home. For the Lord, even now, doth the Lord see you as you stand before Him. Yea, the Lord takes a reading right off of your heart,
yes,
right off of your spirit, yea. And he sees that you have a heart turned toward him, yea. And therefore he is determined that he shall bless thee. Yea, for the Lord shall be indebted to no man, no person, no thing. Yea, but he shall always give in an abundance. For I tell you this, my son, my daughter, my children, yea, every gesture that you make toward me shall be rewarded a hundredfold. Amen. Yea, for I shall surely keep a record. I shall surely take notice for all of the gestures toward me. Yea, and if thou shalt direct your life toward me, yea, and thou shalt live holy in my presence, thou shalt bring up these children in the admonition and fear of the Lord. Yea, you shall have a good life together. Yea, and you shall respect one another with high respect and high regards. For the Lord thou God shall fill your hearts with more love than you ever thought was possible. For the Lord, yea, doth put his hand upon thee this night. Yea, and the Lord doth say, it is a good thing, yea, that you have come together, formed a union. Yea, and they whom God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Yea, none can undo what the Lord does, saith the Lord. Thou shalt live in my presence and in my will, and I shall honor thee with long life and great salvation, saith the Lord.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's, do we have some oil? Let's anoint them as a family.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. So, Tommy, you anoint them and pray over them again. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. We just pray for them again, Lord.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's, do we have some oil? Let's anoint them as a family.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Tommy, you anoint them and pray over them again. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. We just pray for them again, Lord. Let's lay hands upon them, okay? We lay hands upon them, Lord God. And again, we thank you for this precious family, Lord. We thank you for your mighty blessings upon them, Lord. Upon Jan and Art and the children, Father God. And we just take dominion and bind every force of the evil one, God. And we lose upon the blessings of God, the anointing of God, the direction of the Holy Spirit, the will of God in their lives and in their hearts, Lord. We thank you that you'll make them one in the Lord. And Lord, we bless them, Lord. We bless not only this part here, but even the rest of the family, Lord, that's not here tonight, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for making them one, Lord, one in you, in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, thank you for putting the armor up on them. Thank you for giving them the armor to stand and to do the will of God, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you,
Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, we instruct these dear people now to enlarge their tent space, to put down and make new boundaries, in fact, for their ministry, for their understanding. And Father, we just enrich these beautiful children with an understanding of new adjustments that they have to make. Father, we connect them now to Lake Hamilton. We connect them to Glenn and to Irma. We declare, Father, that there is a bond there that will be rich, rich and strengthening for both this family and Glenn and Irma and the body of Christ. We declare that direction and strength will flow to them and from them in this place. Oh, thank you, Father, for this time. Hallelujah. Jagabaratyako sanda. It is done. I've said it, and I will do it, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. My son and my daughter, yea, I have called you and I have joined you,
and yea, I am sending you out. But my children, when I send you out, yea, I make provision. Yea, I will provide. For those I call, those I pay for. For yea, you have worried, and you have said, O Lord, how will we make this? How will we do it? Whence will the provision come? For I say to you, my son, that I have all the gold and silver in the world and the cattle of 1,000 hills. Yea, and I say unto you, my son, that I will pour out provision for you as you stand in faith. Yea, so stand in faith and know that I shall anoint you, and yea, I shall anoint you with a new anointing, and yea, the glory of this house shall be much more than the glory of the latter house. So know that I have called you, and I will provide. And I'll provide for you financially, and yea, my brother, God says he's going to provide for you with a new anointing, an anointing that will... Oh, Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everyone stand now. This is a very sacred moment. Glenn, as head of Lake Hamilton, come here. Just come here. Irma, just step down here in front. Oh, hallelujah. Father, through these dear leaders, we just minister now this connection that we might impart some spiritual gift. We declare that the word of prophecy will be open wider than ever before. Yes. We declare that the strength so obvious in this family will flow to Glenn and to Irma. Father, we just minister that spiritual connection now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, Glenn, do you want to just welcome them?
They're part of your family now.
Father, we thank you for our friendship of the past, our friendship of the present, and then the fellowship through and in through the Lord Jesus. We thank you for that, Father, and we thank you, Lord, that your anointing to flow and to move and your spirit to be revived and the eagle saint to come forth.
Amen.
In the mother eagle and the father eagle.
Yeah.
With the eaglets. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Great is the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Watch your foot
caught in
the
one.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Well,
I would draw you unto myself, and I say that I am drawing you unto myself with cords of love, with cords of love. Won't you come unto me? Let all those bondages go. Put down all the walls down. Put all the walls down. Many of those walls the enemy has not put up, but you put up. You put up some of the walls within yourself, and I'm asking you, my children, to put the walls down.
Yes.
Tear the walls down and open the door of your hearts unto me. Open the door of your innermost being unto me and let me come in, my children. Let me come in and set you free. Let me come in and love you and love you and love you. I have so much love to give unto you. And I would pour out upon you, my children, all of my many benefits. All of my many benefits are all in the book and they're all yours. And I would give them to you if you'll but receive them. Oh, Koyataya. Oh, I love you, my children. I love you, my children, and I desire to draw you to me with the Father's love, with my Father's love, with the Father's love. I would draw you unto me, and I would provide you for you. I would provide for you as a mother provides for a little one. So, Koyataya, so come unto me and let me provide for you. Oh, Koyataya, let me love you. Let me pour out myself upon you. But don't hold back from me, children. Don't hold back. Don't hold back.
Hallelujah.
It's called Shake Hands with the Master. shake hands with the Master. He'll show you the way. He's always beside you. So just kneel and pray. He knows all your burdens, your heartaches he'll bear. Shake hands with the Master. So burdened with no place to go, then I called on Jesus. I needed him so. He took all my burdens, my heartaches to bear. Then I met the Master as I knelt in prayer. The Lord is your shepherd, your cause he will plead to the Father in heaven, who knows all your needs. He'll never forsake you. He'll always be there. Shake hands with the Master. With the Master, as you kneel in prayer.
Hallelujah, Lord. Open ye gates that the righteous may, which keepeth a dream, shall enter in. Open ye gates that the righteous nation with ye for the dream shall it ring, in shall it ring. In that day shall a song be sung in the land of Judah. In that day shall a song be sung in the land of Judah. In that day shall a song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Open ye gates that the righteous may, which keepeth the dream shall it erase. It shall it erase. Open ye gates that the righteous may, which keepeth the dream shall it erase. It shall it erase. In that day shall a song be sung in the land of Judah. In that day shall a song be sung in the land of Judah. In that day shall be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Sing and rejoice, though. Hallelujah. Open ye gates that the righteous nation with keepers of the dream shall it erase. It shall it erase. Open ye gates that the righteous day shall a song be sung in the land of Judah. In that day shall a song be sung in the land of Judah. In that day shall a song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. We have a strong city. Hallelujah! Hallelujah, Lord! Oh, my God! In that day of the Lord, in that day, shall a song be sung in the land of Judah. In that day, in the day of the Lord, aren't you glad that we're coming to that day? In that day of the Lord, hallelujah. Sing and rejoice, O daughters of Zion, for lo, I come. Sing and rejoice, O daughters of Zion, for lo, I come. Sing and rejoice, O daughters of Zion, for lo, I come. For lo, I come. And I will bear witness in the and many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day. For lo, I come, and these will be my people. Sing and rejoice, O daughters of Zion. For lo, I come. Sing and rejoice, O daughters of Zion. For lo, I come. Sing and rejoice, O daughters of Zion. For lo, I come. For lo, I come. And I will dwell in the midst of peace. And many nations shall join to the Lord in that day. In that day, and many nations shall be joined to the Lord. In that day, for lo, I come, and these will be my peace. Oh, sing it! Sing and rejoice, O daughters of Zion, for lo, I come. Sing and rejoice, O daughters of Zion, for lo, I come. Sing and rejoice, O daughters of Zion. For lo, I come. For lo, I come. And I will dwell in the midst of thee. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day. For lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst. All right, this time the women are going to sing it. Your daughters of Zion. Oh, my, don't you know what you're singing this morning? Women, you sing it by yourself. And I want you to really bellow out, because us men's going to come right behind you and do what we have to do. How many believe in that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, in the Spirit there is neither male nor female. But you daughters, you sing out. You sing out this morning. Hallelujah. Only the women. Sing. and rejoice, O daughters of Zion. For lo, I come. Sing and rejoice, O daughters of Zion. For lo, I come. Sing and rejoice, O daughters of Zion. For lo, I come. For lo, I come. And I will dwell in the midst of thee. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day. For lo, I come, and I will tell everybody. Sing and rejoice, O daughters of Zion. For lo, I come. Sing and rejoice, O daughters of Zion. For lo, I come. Sing and rejoice, O daughters of Zion.
Turn to the person next to you and just give them a big hug and tell them you're glad they're here this morning. Lord, we just invite you here this morning with our hearts, Lord, not just with our words, with our hearts, Lord. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, and be in the midst of your people this morning. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Okay, stand to your feet. You sing better standing up. If you get tired, you're welcome to sit down.
Enter your gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter your courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. Our very love for you may be glad. Well, you have made me glad. Thank you.
Father, we come into your midst today with thanksgiving and praise, uplifting to magnify and to glorify your Son, our Savior and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for receiving our praise and our worship as we've gathered together this day to praise and to magnify thee. Not only here, Father, but across the nation and the nations of the earth, where men and women are gathered to magnify and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, we lift up our nation this day that is honored for in remembrance of this nation that is a nation under God. Father, we strayed far, far away. Oh, God, we come again today to bring the, and as Daniel of old, to bring the sins of our fathers and the sins of the nation. Ask, oh, God, and thank you for your mercy and your grace that is extended unto us. Then, Father, we take authority and dominion in the name of the Lord Jesus over the powers of, and dominions of, and principalities of darkness, and we bind and break their assignment to destroy this nation. We lift up our president and those in authority in the land. Oh, God, bring conviction into hearts and lives. Cause them to repent and bend their knee and call on the name of the Lord. Spirit of rebellion, I bind you. I break your dominion over this land. Spirit of abortion, I bind you. Shedding of innocent blood, I break the assignment over this land. Father, I thank you for the privilege that we have to stand and make Jesus Lord. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your anointing over the young people, Father, over the adults, over those who will be ministering to the youth and to the young people, and here to minister to the adults. We have open ears to hear the word of the Lord and to abide by it and to desire to walk in holiness and righteousness. Father, now we commit the rest of this day and these services and all those who will be here to thy care and thy keeping. And may thy spirit flow forth across the campground to those who are just here off of the highway. Father, just for the day or for a couple of days. May they feel your presence and your anointing. May they be drawn, Father, unto thee, that they may come to the knowledge of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for it, Father. May your sweet presence flow, and we praise you for it. Amen. Amen.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.